This is a beautiful church we have. I think it's one of the most beautiful churches in Virginia. Beautifully designed architecturally with its arches and the pillars. And then the statues and the beautiful stained glass windows, the Stations of the Cross, the marble. And soon, two beautiful paintings. It is not a cookie cutter church, not typical of the churches, most of the churches built in Arlington for 50 years or so. It is unique. It is the work of an artist, it is the work of love. And it is designed for one purpose, one principal purpose, to be a home for Jesus. And we never use it for anything else. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, in chapter 3, after Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God turns to the devil and says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her offspring and your offspring." Now, clearly the woman is not the woman that we've been introduced to so far in chapter 3 of Genesis. It's not Eve. Because Moses is hearing this millennia later. There is another woman, and that woman will give birth to a child who is, he tells the serpent, will crush the serpent's head. And from the onset, the woman and the child will both be enemies of the devil. Right from the beginning, God promised that he would send us his son Jesus. But right from the beginning, he also promised us that Jesus would come to us through his mother. And so, as St. Paul says, she was predestined in Christ. Like this church, she was unique even from the beginning of the world. Like this church, Mary was created for one principal purpose, to hold Jesus, to be a home for him for 9 months, and to build a home for him for the rest of his life, and to bring Jesus to us. Now, if I had a magnificent party and I invited and they were coming, the president, the pope, the queen of England, rulers of different countries, and they all came, and we wanted to have this magnificent dinner, where could we find a better place than to do it in this beautiful building? That would be a good use of this beautiful building. But there's a better use for this beautiful building, and so we would only use it for that and not for dinner with presidents and kings and popes even. This is the home of the Lord, and we only use it for that purpose. In a similar way, some people would say that, well, Mary, you know, why couldn't she have done other things besides be the mother of Jesus? She could have been mother of other children. She could have had a normal life. She didn't really have to be different than all other women, unique among all women. She didn't have to be conceived, you know, miraculously without original sin in the Immaculate Conception. She could have done all these other things like any other woman. The thing is, why would we want her to be? And how would that be fitting? Because the only thing she really needed to do, I mean, what better thing could she do than be the great mother of God? Like this church, which has specific attributes that make it more worthy as a place for the home of God, with marble and brass and gold and silk and all these things, Mary is also given special attributes to make her worthy and able to do all the things that she must do as the mother of God. She's given special virtues. She's given extra graces, the fullness of grace. Hail, full of grace. And she has given that first gift right in the beginning, to be free of original sin, and so free from all the things that original sin brings, including concupiscence, that tendency we all have to sin, that confusion between good and evil that we all have. Mary didn't have that on purpose, so that she could be a fitting place to be the home of Jesus. Like this church, which is beautiful and wonderful in itself, Mary is beautiful and wonderful in herself, the most beautiful creature ever. The fathers tell us, and they go on and on, how beautiful she was. And yet, really, even as beautiful as she was just a handmaid in compared to the King that she brought to us. Because, like this church, the power of the Holy Spirit descended upon her, and Jesus comes and comes present in her womb, just as the Holy Spirit comes here, descends on this church, and brings the Holy Spirit to be present on the altar. Now, Mary is more than just a piece of architecture or a work of art. She's more than just a magnificent building to use for a special function. She is, after all, the Mother of God, the most blessed of all creatures, and our Mother. But on the other hand, Mary would be happy to be recognized as simply an instrument. She'd be happy to be compared to a building or to a chalice or whatever. She would be happy to say, "Don't look at me. Look at my son. I am the handmaid of the Lord." And she would say, "Do whatever he tells you. Don't worry about me." As she did at the wedding feast of Cana. But the thing is, we can't overlook her either. We can't look just past her and look to Jesus either. Because, as I said, she's the most precious and beautiful of all creatures. She's part of God's plan and promise from the beginning. There's a reason for her being there and for God highlighting her in the beginning of the Bible. But most of all, where would we be without Mary? I mean, for example, where would we be without this beautiful church? Where would we have Mass? Now, surely we could have Mass just about anywhere. We could have Mass in a high school or in a firehouse, for example. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but we could do that. But we figured out a long time ago that Jesus deserves something better than that. And so we built this church for him and for us, so that we could worship him better. And the same for Mary. God built her in a particular special way right from the beginning. Built her to be the very special sinless mother of her son, and to be our mother also. Jesus deserved this woman, and we need this woman. Advent is a time to prepare for Christmas, for the coming of Jesus. It seems a little incongruous to sort of interrupt Advent with this great feast of Our Lady, because we're supposedly, it's a penitential season and we should be focusing on Jesus. But the thing is, it's a penitential season and we're focused on Jesus to prepare, to be worthy for Jesus. And no one has ever done that better, more perfectly than Mary. And so I think it's a wonderful thing that in God's plan, in God's providential plan for things, how it works out so nicely that in this first week of Advent, we turn to Mary. And we remember how magnificent she was, how prepared she was, and how she focused and gave her whole life to Jesus, culminating in a certain way at the birth, but really, really that was just another beginning. And so For us, we turn to Mary, the one who is perfectly prepared for Christmas. We turn to her, and we ask her to intercede for us and to help us to prepare to receive her Son, to prepare to receive her Son in the Eucharist at this Mass, to prepare to receive her Son in the celebration of Christmas, and to prepare to receive her Son when we see him in glory at the judgment. Praise be Jesus Christ. Holy Mary, Immaculate Mother of God, pray for us.